Good morning, everybody. I would like to welcome you to the Fred Report conference call for Thursday, August. It looks like August 19th, according to my telephone. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, using a different office than I normally use, so if anything goes wrong, please forgive me and let me know. We're going to get right into it here, guys. So far, the market seems to be doing about what we want it to do. I'm looking at the spiders right now. They're sort of drifting around in the 109, 108 sort of area. I think we still are going to close in this general region. We have a little tiny, weeny bit of a short-term gap, a little bit lower down. We could fill that. Note that it is options expiration, and all sorts of wacky stuff can occur. So I'm looking for choppy sideways action into Friday's close. But if we were to close in here, I actually think we could have a pretty good week next week if we close around here on Friday. So I'm sort of looking for that. I'm sort of hoping for that. And I'm sort of discounting the action today and tomorrow. What would make me a little bit more negative is a close on the SPY below 106 for sure. And below 107 would be a little bit of a concern. We'll be evaluating that and watching as time goes by, but the indicators basically still look okay. It looks like this market can rally a little bit. I note that last week bearish sentiment picked up a little bit. We went from 27% bears on Investors Intelligence to 31% bears, which is a nice tick up. My model there is certainly in the buy zone. It's more of a condition indicator, as I said, and obviously that can go higher, but these are good numbers, not bad numbers. And I detect a tremendous amount of skepticism there and a tremendous amount of people looking for a decline into the fall from this area. In fact, almost everyone is. Virtually no one is looking for a rally here. And so I like to be alone, I guess, in terms of that majority or minority relationship. So I think we're okay as far as that goes. I do caution everybody, though, that until the SPY goes above 114, it hasn't gone above 114 and broken out. So I'm going to maintain a little bit more of a cautious stance until we actually achieve that breakout. I think the good news is if we do achieve that breakout, there's really no reason technically to be bearish anymore. The market can go to 120 to 125 on that move. The other thing I would note is we're seeing all sorts of stuff on things. The Hindenburg omen and all sorts of other stuff suggesting that the market is getting ready to go down alarmingly, and should that occur, we would be a little bit surprised. It usually doesn't happen when everyone's looking for it. We've had a lot of questions on the bond market, and looking at the TLT right now, I note that it is up, and it's up on a gap, and the question to me really is this an exhaustion gap or not? The bonds have done better than I thought they would. They've gone above 103 on the TLT. I kind of think the reason for that is because the 2-year and the 5-year rates have gone down so much, the 30-year rate is just following, and that's pushing the TLT. And the real question is, do we fail up in this area, fill that gap, and go down? There's resistance on the TLT at 106 and 108. And it's worth noting that we're probably, that's where we're going to stop, assuming these markets continue. I would still be buying LQD-type bonds, i.e. corporate bonds, for clients here rather than treasuries. I think the yields are better. I note that the LQD has also broken out. And my thought pattern here is if I'm wrong on these bonds and rates continue to go down and the TLT goes up, the LQD is going to try to catch up, as it frankly is doing now. And if these rates were to, in fact, rise from here, as I think they are going to do, what is very likely is the LQD will go down less. So I think overall, good corporates with decent yields are probably a better bet for you. Everyone's talking about how this means deflation. It certainly is possible that that could. But we'll get into the gold market a little bit later, but it's very, very odd to see deflation where commodity prices have a tendency to go down actually being led by an advance in gold, which is going up. So for my money, this is not signaling deflation. it's signaling lack of confidence or signaling something else, but this is not how deflation has traditionally started. The other thing I would note is that the dollar has had a decline from roughly 88 to roughly 81 on the dollar index. Normally in deflation, the dollar is going up, not down, and in fact, that's not occurring either. In deflation, as I think I wrote about in one of our pieces, the tendency is for cash money to be worth more than anything else because the prices of everything are falling. People tend to hoard cash. That doesn't seem to be happening. You see commodities going up and various other things going up. And we're going to talk about the commodities right now. Looking at the DBC, it's holding, that's my favorite commodity index, it's holding the 22 area. It rallied to the 24 area like we thought it could. I'm still looking ultimately for a move to 25 on this index, but it may not occur. We're running out of time, frankly. Normally, commodities have a tendency to peak in August to mid-September and then fall into the fall. Fall into the winter, rather, so you normally then see them fall into October, November, and then rally December, January. So that move may be running out of steam. However, looking at the gold market, the GLD has broken out. The GLD is looking rather appealing here. It's already at 120 to 121. My target for this up move, which we looked at 115, basically is 121 to 122, and then we could start to see some fall off in the gold market as well. Looking at the oil market, oil again has had a seasonal tendency traditionally to rally in the summer. It did get a little bit of a rally, but it's been much less. I think that part of the reason for that is the problems in the Gulf, which were terrible, and also just it doesn't work every year, guys, and this is one of the years it didn't work. That said, though, it looks like the USO is going to hold the 32 area on declines. And if it does get going, I still think we can get to 38. We got to about 37.20 on that before. We're going to take a look at some individual stocks now. And I guess the first one is some of these agricultural stocks that we've had. We're going to take a look at CF, which is CF Industries, which we had on our trading list for a while. As soon as we sold it, it traded up immediately to the target where we were going to sell it in the 88 area. At $90, it's at resistance. It's appealing, but it may not be the best-looking stock in this area. Of more import to me is MOS, Mosaic. That's a much better-looking chart. It is at resistance, and it does have a gap. I could buy this stock, but if I did, I would leave some money out to see if it were to trade back to 52.53, in which case I would add to my position. The short-term objective on this stock remains 62 to 65. We like this name. Potash, which was the subject of a buyout, unfortunately, is probably no longer buyable. It's way above short-term targets. My short-term target on this stock would have been about 120, and it's trading at 146.83. So for me, this is an avoid. If I owned the stock, frankly, I'd sell it because of the very large gap. It is up on news, and if these guys decide not to buy it or something like that happens, this stock will fall back rather alarmingly. The ETF that is rated, deals with these agricultural stocks, and everybody, please thank you for your support. I've been in Barron's Market Watch this week talking about Moo. Moo is up and has a short-term objective of 46. That's the ETF involved in these. It still looks good overall, but it may start to consolidate. One little stock that I think looks very, very good that I'm going to try to get on my list. I keep, frankly, missing the stock on my list. We'll try to get a shot at it. But it's in this agricultural area is CAGC. That's Communist Apple George Communist. And it's trading around 1678. The stock could pull back to 15, but it's a nice rounding bottom, and it looks like it can make it to 20 to 22. That wasn't on the list of stocks I sent out today. Taking a look at Apple Computer, we always get asked about Apple. It looks like Apple has stopped going up for a while and may enter a consolidation. It certainly doesn't look like there's anything really wrong with Apple. It just looks like the stock had moved from like 240 to 270 for a while. This is important because it's the heaviest weighted stock in the technology ETFs, and so these technology ETFs, even though we've been overweight them, may suddenly start to perform in line with the market or even underperform. I don't think that means the technology is dead. I do think it means that these technology ETFs may suddenly start to be dead relative to some of the other ones. So we're looking at changing our weightings around, and have a look at the sector report this week, which is going to be coming out after this weekend. We'll see how that works out. We've had a number of questions on Bank of America. The stock is frankly trading below the 14 support, and frankly it looks pretty awful. Where is it going to go on the downside? Golly knows. I can see the stock going as low as 8. I think the important message here on Bank of America, though, is unless you have to own it and you need to own financials, there's some better areas to look for financials. I would look in the insurance space. I would look at J.P. Morgan, some other stocks other than BAC that will fit your financial allocation, I think, better with a chance of better performance. BB&T Banks, which has been a perennial favorite of mine, we got stopped out of the stock at 24. It's at 23.61 now. Obviously great yield, but the trend is down on the stock to get to 21. I kind of hate being stopped out of it, but that's the way it goes. And as I say, there's a little more risk there, especially if the market were to have a little bit of trouble. We have one oil stock left on our list. That's Chevron, currently trading around 76.11. We have a stop of 74.99. That'll get us out with about a 5% profit. I like the looks of the stock longer term, but if we do get stopped out, the stock could trade back to 70, in which case I'll be looking at the stock again to buy. We still get questions on BP, boy, Paul. And all I can say is the stock rallied up, filled a little bit of a gap at 40, and it's starting to turn back down again. I can't see any reason to buy this stock. I think that there could be more and more bad news on this name, and I just don't want to be involved in this one. Everyone seems to want to buy this so they can get it cheap. What I always say is sometimes cheap is for the birds, and this one may not work out as well as people want it to down the road. The last stock we've been asked about is DVN, Devon Energy. This is one that, again, when oils come down a little bit, if they do in the into the winter, I'll look at this stock around 60 to 62 for a potential buy. It doesn't look bad. I just think that oils are running out of steam here, or maybe we should say oils are running out of gas here. All I can say is Devon is one that is of interest to me, but not right at these levels. With that, I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff, who I think is on, but may not be. If he doesn't come on, I'll come back on. Jeff Garbaz, are you on? We do not seem to have Jeff Garbaz on the call. So anyone with any questions at all, please feel free to hit star 6 and unmute your line and ask any questions that you may have.
Hi, Fred. Steve Holman. Can you look at CHS, please?
CHS. That's Communist Harry Sam.
Correct.
Okay. Steve, the thing is up on a gap just recently. It looks like it may be trying to put a little bit of a short-term bottom in here. Let me take a look at a longer-term chart. This area, oddly enough, is where it looks like it could support. And, Steve, I'd give this a little more zap on the upside to 15, well, to 10. If it were to get above 10, you could get a move up to 12 to 13 and into the 14 area. So above 10, this is actually appealing, and it does look like it's bottoming. For me, it's a hold.
Great, thanks.
More questions.
Hey, Fred, how about LVS?
LVS? Fred. Yeah. LVS, Rich, I'll be right there. Hang on 1 second. I'm doing LVS for Jeff here. Jeff, this is, and I'm actually really interested in this. It's got a breakout basically above 30 and a bunch of options where people wrote calls basically at 30. So I would hold this stock. If it starts going up next week after expiration, you're probably going to see 34 to 35 on the stock. My concern is if it goes down through 27, you've probably got to move back down to 22 in it as part of the basing process. So this is a very interesting name at this point. Above 30, we like it, and below 30, it's got a little bit of risk, but really the action is probably going to happen next week. Rich Garcia, your call.
Fred, Mike Fred. Calling.
Caterpillar.
Hang on 1 second, Michael. Let Rich go.
Rich. Caterpillar, Fred?
Caterpillar. It looks like that thing's got legs. Sorry, that's my bad joke for the day. 70 to 71 resistance, above 71.5, 75, 76, and it's a good pattern. If the market goes through 114, this will probably be one of the leaders. I would definitely hold this stock. If you're real aggressive, I could buy it. Your risk is if the market really blows up here down to $60.
Thanks.
All right. Michael.
Yes. August is typically a light volume month, historically, due to vacations, and yet people are reading into it like institutions are sitting on the side. How do you interpret August?
August has certainly traded well. Volume has been a little bit light, but as you say, I don't think that's completely unusual. I actually like the trading in August so far, and I think that means we can get a move up into September. I don't see anything unusual about it. The only thing I guess is we've had a lot of those so-called 90% days, both up and down. I tend to discount 90% volume days. Everyone looks at that indicator now. I'm perfectly happy with August. I don't think the light volume means we're going to go down the tubes.
Can you hear me, Fred?
Yes, Daddy.
WNC.
WNC. Let's have a quick look at WNC. NC. Very interesting, Teddy. That's got a 6.5 to 9 trading range. It looks like it's coming up from the support area with slightly higher lows. I think that stock can make it to 870 or so, and it's probably a decent short-term sale there. Above 9, it could make it to 11 or 12. It's a good pattern.
Thank you, Fred.
But EBIX,
any more questions?
EBIX, Fred?
Yes. EBIX?
Correct.
Still a rounding bottom. It's improved since the last time we talked about it, Julia. I would say 20 short term, 20 to 24 longer term, and it's very definitely a hold. And actually, if you want to buy some more of this, this is probably a good time to buy because it's broken out above 18, which was a resistance.
Thank you.
Any more? For everybody on the call that's new, star 6 unmutes. Okay. That should do it then. What
hey,
I'm going to do... Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you?
It's Tom, Doug Isles, partner here at Merrill Lynch.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Can you update us on MU?
MU. Micron. I've got a fair amount of support on that in the 7 area. It is a short-term downtrend and trending a little bit weaker than the market. Tom, I probably would not buy the stock until it broke above the 8 area resistance. If it were to do that, you might get a move to 9.5 to 10, which would be the next resistance. Frankly, this has been a little bit of a disappointment after I took it off my list. It's trading a little bit weaker than technology as a whole, so I'd be just a little bit careful of that.
Thank you.
While I'm here, let me take a look at another one that Doug might have some interest in. Some of the chemicals. Dow Chemical is trading sideways in the 21, 22 to 28 range, and that's one that will go with the market, I think. A lot of options on this expiring at 25 if you look at your open interest, so it may not do much until after options expiration. And DuPont, which sometimes leads Dow, has had a very nice move up. It's been an outperformer. So 40 to 42 short-term range on there, and it would not surprise me at all to see this stock close right around 40 for expiration. Any others, guys?
Hey, Fred, I know that there's one house that's really talking up Triple M. I wonder how it looks from a fundamental point of view. I wonder how it looks technically.
You know, Teddy, that's actually, it's a decent-looking name with fair support 81 to 80, and resistance is in the 88 to 90 area. Looking at the indicators, this is very slightly positive still. So if you're interested in this name and it gets to like 81.5, it's probably a buy.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, it looks like that's about it. Any other questions before I end the call? Okay, then we will end the call. Guys, this is Fred Meissner at the Fred Report. This is the conclusion of the Thursday, August 19th technical market call. I want to thank you all for participating. Let's see how this market does over the next couple of days. Just to sum up a little bit, we're going to get real positive above 114 on the spider. For now, we are positive, but we need to be a little tiny bit defensive. And so with that, we will conclude the August 19th technical market call.